Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to the people of the outer reaches. Good morning to those space sailors in the secret space navy fighting beyond Uranus. They're battling against the wandering helmet pirates of Sector 3. We don't like Sector 3. Good morning. It is 10:40 a.m. Mountain Standard Time in the great mountain state of Utah. It's July the 3rd, 2021. Tomorrow is 4th of July. Tomorrow we celebrate our independence from something we can't remember, right? Tomorrow we celebrate fighting for freedom for some reason. For some reason we can't remember. We can't remember, can we? We heard a story once about a place. It was called the Land of the Free. It's called the Land of the Free. And the home of the brave. Yeah, it's July the 3rd. Saturday, 2021, Bo Blimp Doc. And tomorrow is Independence Day. But it doesn't really feel like a holiday where you should be celebrating. For those of us who have at least slender notion of the concept of human liberty, for those of us who can still observe the propaganda, if it was never true, at least we remember the propaganda we were told when we were kids. That a long time ago, a bunch of colonists in the New World decided that the burdens put upon them by the King of England, by the government of England, was too onerous. There was no justification for these burdens. There was no representation before Parliament regarding these burdens. So these colonists, these people, white men, white women, they weren't all white. Fact is, a lot of people got suckered. Every color, every creed. People believed they were fighting for freedom until the Revolutionary Wars were over. And then a bunch of farmers thought it was okay for them to, like, you know, take excess grain and convert it to whiskey and then sell the whiskey. But they didn't want to pay no stinking tax. And so the government of the United States, the freedom fighters, sent an army to attack farmers. Because they didn't want to pay a tax. And this happened a couple years after we won, sarcastic quotes, the Revolutionary War. Just a few short years after we quote-unquote won the war for our freedom, our own government was busy attacking farmers because the farmers didn't want to pay some stupid whiskey tax. This was called the Whiskey Rebellion. And I'm sure a lot of the original colonies. We're asking questions right around 1785, 1786, right after the Revolutionary War ended, but just before we had that thing called the Constitution. And we were told the Constitution would solidify, and we were told the Constitution would unify, and basically the creators of the Constitution swore a blood oath. That's right, the framers of the Constitution did their little exercise in the darkness of night. Not unlike the creation of the Federal Reserve a little more than 120 years later, but basically in the darkness of night, they created this government with a constitution. And good news, they have the Bill of Rights to protect you and your freedom. Isn't that great news, brothers and sisters, that in that constitution in 1787 and 88, they included a Bill of Rights? How's that working out for you? Have you had your second vaccination? Have you had your second vaccination? Ostensibly, we're supposed to celebrate tomorrow, our Independence Day. And we're supposed to take it seriously. And we're supposed to believe it meant something. A few short decades after we created our government, we created armies to round up Native Americans. A few short decades after we created our government, we rounded up Native Americans on our roads and took them to places they never were so we could steal their land. We moved the Cherokee across the country so we could steal their land. And yes, of course, a few short decades later, there was a civil war. And of course, they'll tell you we resolved the issue of slavery. But what the North always wanted, or rather, what power always wanted, was control. And slavery, as reprehensible and disgusting and gross as it was not the issue of the Civil War. The issue was power. The issue was control. And they got it. And yes, of course, slavery ended, but did the crimes of slavery really end? Did all that pain just go away? Tomorrow we celebrate Independence Day. My question is, what are you celebrating? That you know somebody that went to fight in a war since 9/11 to go kill people you never knew and steal their resources? What are you celebrating? On 9/11, 3,000 people were killed, if you believe the story we were told. Since 9/11, our government, our military has killed millions of people. Men, women, and children, a very small percentage were actual terrorists. Most were just people in the wrong place at the wrong time. Millions. Best case, hundreds of thousands, but probably millions. What are you celebrating tomorrow, America? Your freedom? Freedom to do what? To go to a mall and buy some crap made in China? What are you celebrating tomorrow? Your freedom to not wear a mask as long as you get your second vaccination shot and you install that new app on your phone? What are you celebrating tomorrow? And tomorrow could be today because these broadcasts go out on, you know, WRMI, 5950 kilohertz. Saturday and Sunday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's 3 a.m. UTC the next day. If you're listening on shortwave. And if you're listening on shortwave, the notes for this podcast broadcast can be found by going to dfgtc.org/shownotes That's Delta Foxtrot Golf Tango Charlie .org/shownotes. You go there, pick the right date of the broadcast. You got to do that, and you'll get the right notes. Tomorrow is the 4th of July. When I was a kid, I think I was 10, might have been 11, 9 or 10, but I remember, you know, we went to the reservation, which again, we've spoken about reservations on this show before. Reservation, in its original sense, and I mean in the 19th century sense of having a constitution so you can tax people and build an army and round up indigenous peoples and ship them someplace. Reservation, in the context of what the Japanese, the Germans, and the Brits learned from us, reservation also means concentration camp. That's what reservation means. Reservation sounds really, really nice. And I guess today with the casinos and everything else, you could say, well, Dan, it looks like they made out like bandits. We don't need to remember Wounded Knee. That was like 100 Bo Blimp Doc years ago. They're making out with bandits with those casinos. They're making out like billionaires, right? The reservation's lovely. The reservation's so great. Yeah, we found uranium on reservations. We found resources on reservations. So over the years, we've stolen more and more land from the Native Americans. Even though you'd think this is the modern age, no, we're still stealing. And all of this was made possible by the U.S. Constitution. And the joke is on you. And the joke is on the people that fought for freedom. It is. Because there were probably ordinary people, okay? Starting in the 1770s, when things were just beginning to get exciting, all the way through 1783, there were ordinary people who fought the British. Okay, they fought because they believed they were fighting for their independence from illegitimate authority. Authority that had no basis. Authority that had no representation. That's what they believed. So who were the greater fools? The average schmuck or schlub or mook in 2021, wearing two masks and consuming their cancer at the cancer shop? Or that ordinary person, that simple farmer, that simple human being with a basic breech-loading rifle, black powder, flintlock, not a lot of training? Who's the greater fool, the person today or the person back then? Something to think about. Day before 4th of July. That's a horrible sound. Next topic. You know, there have been people my whole adult life, and I'm going to drink a little coffee here. There have been people my whole adult life in the media, famous people, scientists, engineers, thinkers, ever since I was a kid, ever since I knew enough to know what a computer was, ever since I knew enough to know I wanted to go to computer camp, 1980, instead, I think my parents sent me to basketball camp. I've been fascinated by computers since I was a kid. I've been fascinated by a lot of the science fiction genre around computers. And I have been a software engineer for about 20 years, two decades, plus or minus. I've been programming computers for about 20 years. I started doing it when I got out of the Army, and I enjoyed it. And there was a time where it seemed like technology was moving so quickly that it did seem as if artificial intelligence, machine intelligence, on a qualitative scale with human beings would be possible in my lifetime. But what I would say, despite all the propaganda, despite all the news articles, despite all the BS, I don't see any evidence of it. There has been a persistent fear my whole life that the computers will take over. And every single year, it seems as if that particular fear becomes more inflated and more ridiculous. I can tell you in the last decade, the general competence of people writing code, that's engineers, that's programmers, has gone down, not up. The general efficiency of teams solving problems has basically gone down, not up. I know the propaganda will tell you differently, but if you actually worked at places like Microsoft, you would know the truth. The general capability and capacity since I've been a software engineer kind of peaked out in 2006 or 7. Ever since then, it's been a steady decline. Every team, every company, every opportunity is filled with madness, unrealistic expectations, and a lot of just mythology over science or engineering. A lot of political correctness over science or engineering. If you work at Microsoft and you're a blue badge, and blue badge just means permanent employee. If you're a blue badge at Microsoft, you spend most of your time being indoctrinated. You don't really do very much work. Orange badges, the contractors, do all kinds of work. That's what I was. I was there to fix the plumbing. The blue badges sat around and talked about it until the pipes leaked. Now you want me to be afraid that the robots are going to take over because you saw a movie, or you saw Elon Musk, or you saw Joe Rogan talking to Ray Kurzweil or something. The robot apocalypse is crap. I'm not saying that robots have not become more sophisticated. Based upon what I've seen, you know, in the news, it seems as if they have. But I don't really see that they're ready to just sort of self-replicate and take over. In fact, from what I can tell, the simplest task, the easiest task, the most rational task for any robot since I lived in a city ever, and that would include my first year at the University of Washington in Seattle, the task I've expected robots to fulfill as a sign they were going to take over was to keep the streets clean. It seems to me if you can build a super intelligent robot cheaply, you should be able to build super intelligent robots cheaply that can keep the streets clean, but they can't. Oh yeah, I know, they'll show you a city of the future where nobody poops in the street or dumps garbage, and then some wandering, rolling robot will maybe pick up something. But I'm talking about the real world. I'm talking about Little Saigon, Seattle. I'm talking about San Francisco. I'm talking about places where people already live. It's not there. I've mentioned this on my podcast before. I use the bus a lot in Seattle. Starting in 2017, I noticed something funny when I was living in Seattle. The bus signs, the electronic, super fantastic, high-tech bus signs brought to you by your super high-tech city of Seattle, started giving you schedules from 2 months earlier or 2 years earlier, or they simply froze up and they didn't tell you anything. In 2018 and 2019, you'd check a bus sign and it would tell you the bus schedule for 2017. Please tell me about the robot apocalypse. Tell me when these machines are going to take over. I think I understand why people are fascinated by this fear. You see, there's a darker fear, a fear that nobody wants to confront. Most people I know do not want to confront. The darker fear is that the technology, the capacity, the infrastructure, and I don't mean the infrastructure that the mayor of Washington, D.C. is talking about, President Biden. I mean the real guts that enable this civilization. All this stuff is falling apart. It's all going sideways. If robots were going to take over, it seems about time to, because if they don't take over soon, they will also go extinct. We are still making all the robots. We're still making all the factories to make all the components. The real reason why so many people obsess over the robot apocalypse is that it is optimistic. It is. To believe that technology will simply grow the way that Ray Kurzweil would like to have you believe it will grow. It'll be exponential. We'll have the singularity, but it's crap. Look around. If you live in a city, look around. Turn off your TV, put down your ironically named device, your smart device, and look around. Does it look like the robots are doing even the basic things that they would be doing if they were so advanced and so cheap? See, here's what I'll contend. I think we have the technology and the resources to build a few very powerful computers, and we probably have the technology and resources to build a few very expensive robots. But do we have the technology and resources, and do the resources exist to create a perpetual motion machine of robots? To have von Neumann factories, and if you don't know what a von Neumann factory is, a von Neumann factory, named after the famous researcher, scientist, computer scientist, and economist, von Neumann, back in the 50s or 60s, proposed the idea of a completely automated factory that had one unique feature. It was capable also of building other factories. Von Neumann factories don't exist. We don't have them. We do not have the cornucopia of Boston Dynamic robots. They are all very expensive. They are all very complex. They do not work as reliably as the propaganda probably leads you to believe. But I know why you're afraid. Because it's a better fear. It's an easier fear. If you had to worry that the electricity you take for granted could fail, and it might not fail 100 years from now, it could fail maybe a few days from now. That's scary. If you had to even contemplate the idea that the food at the grocery store might stop arriving, and it wouldn't slowly get there, it would just be catastrophic, just like the Hemingway quote, "How did you go broke? Slowly, then all at once." People do not want to believe that the rock and roll world we've had for 70 or 80 years will ever come to an end. They'd rather believe the robots will take over, because at least the electricity still works in that future, right, Bitcoin miner? People need to believe in these things. It's kind of like the alien horror films, you know? People need to believe in these things because even though they might be horrible, they present a future where the technology that people have become addicted to continues to exist. And I gotta say, And I know I'm a contraindicator. I know I'm an outlier here. I know that no one would agree with me, or at least almost no one. A lot of people will disagree with this, but I'll say it anyways. This overly engineered, overly complex, neo-Stalinist Death Star reality that you've gotten used to, it doesn't run for free. It requires resources, a lot of resources. It requires a lot of energy. And it also requires a coherence, which means that you have to use energy just to keep it going. It's not just that the system uses energy to give you that Big Mac. The system needs energy to create structures whereby you end up with the Big Mac. It's nested, it's expensive, and it was always going to fail. Always. Every empire, every society, they always fail. Always. They always go out with a bang. Well, not necessarily with a bang. That's right. Before we go to the next topic, I would say the source of a lot of sci-fi horror in terms of people being interested in it has a weird source. And I would say it's the desire on the part of a lot of humans to believe that this rinky-dink techno-culture can continue as is. We can have the technology in a free world, or we can have this tyrannical superstate that gives us technology. One of these is sustainable, the free world. The one we have is not. It could never be built to last. It was designed to fail, as all governments are. You know, you'd say, I want a government to solve problems. What you don't know is that these structures you create, they create problems. They're designed to engineer problems. You will have more problems after the first 10 years of having that king than you had before. 1 Samuel chapter 8, the Lord in heaven is telling the chosen people, you do not want a king. Here's what will happen. Anyways, next topic. So there was a movie when I was a kid, a Bond film called Octopussy. I believe it came out when I was in my early teens. I believe it came out in 83 or 84, but all I can say is I was sorely disappointed. When I watched Octopussy, I expected something special. I expected a woman. A woman. With eight vaginas. And he says, oh, Dan, what? Eight vaginas? Yeah, when I watched the movie Octopussy, I couldn't quite understand the name. Goldfinger, that was connected to his crap, you know. Dr. No. I mean, he was definitely not Dr. Yes. But when I watched the movie Octopussy, okay, I thought, okay, James Bond is going to face up against an evil woman with eight vaginas. Now imagine that. An army of women with eight vaginas. Yeah, I don't know. I think that's a silly topic, but it makes a good segue from something serious, and I guess I got really serious for this broadcast podcast. And if you're listening on shortwave radio, this is 5950 kilohertz. This is 5950 kilohertz WRMI out of Miami, Miami Okeechobee, from the swamps in the Everglades, from the feverish center of the living earth, from Gaia's own bowel. Comes forth the evil beast that shall arise, shall arise, shall arise out of Okeechobee. The beast will have 17 eyes. The beast will have 33 horns. The beast will have 16 cell phones, all of them watching porn. The beast will be covered in grease. The beast will have claws of gold. The beast will also have issues with persistent black mold. Yeah, if you're listening on shortwave radio, this is 5950 kilohertz. This is WRMI. This is your good friend Dan with the Planetary Status Report. And if you'd like to get to the notes for this show, just go to dfgtc.org/shownotes. That's Delta Foxtrot Golf Tango Charlie.org/shownotes. And you can get the notes for this show. And you can reach a whole new vibrational level. And maybe you'll go exercise tomorrow. Maybe you'll get a brand new electric trike. Maybe you'll ask that girl at Starbucks out on a date. Maybe you'll start eating vegetables again. If you want to hear more of me, go to imsully.com. You'll get all kinds of audio you can download. If you go to dfgtc.org/mp3, all the MP3 files are there. Next topic. Quote from Dr. Freckles, you can never have too many knives. No, you can't have too many knives. You can never have too many knives. You need a knife for every occasion, a knife for all your underwear. Never have too many knives. You need knife holders in your underwear, knife holders in your shoes, knife holders in your suits, knife holders everywhere. You need knives under your table. You need to hand them out to kids. You need to hand out knives all over the neighborhood. There's a dude in Japan. I saw a YouTube commercial, so this must be true. There's a guy in Japan. He makes custom-made knives. These are called husk knives. He makes them especially for you. Like Mama Leone and your personal pizza, you get a specialized knife. Straight from Japan. There's a fellow in Japan, and he's making these knives. He's folding the metal 100,000 times. He's making them super sharp and super special. He's honing his skills. He doesn't want to make a profit. He's giving away these knives for less than cost. There's a fellow in Japan making knives. He's trying to hone his craft. He's basically giving away the knives. They're just for you. They're really sharp. These knives can come in handy when you go after that crummy neighbor. Can you imagine being some dude who's maybe contacted by a demon or something, and the demon comes along and says to you, "Listen, buddy, I don't know what to tell you." This demon comes along and says to you, "Listen, buddy, you're gonna go straight to hell. However, if you start making knives for me, special knives, make me knives and give them to strangers. Each knife has an incantation. Every knife is magically created, given a magical kind of aura. When the person gets their special knife from Japan, they immediately think of someone they want to destroy. What if that's why they're giving away the knives for less than cost? What if there's a fellow in Japan, and yeah, he's honing his art, but he's filled with rage, and you don't know why, and he doesn't know why, but all he wants to do is make knives and give them out to people? There is no contradiction between being opposed to war and being in support of self-defense. And so that little knife thing, I'm being ridiculous. I don't want people to order these knives. They might very well be demonically enchanted. They could also just be knives that are being sold in a kind of a false way, because when you drill into the site, it's not really one dude making all the knives. In the commercial, it makes it sound like there's one dude making all the knives, but no, there's a factory of people, not robots, people, maybe orangutans, but definitely living organisms making those knives. There is no contradiction between being opposed to war and also believing in self-defense. You could even argue that these are related concepts, okay? I think every living thing will defend itself or die. That's it. I don't care if it's an ant, a spider, a human being, a dog, a cat. I don't care if you're a pigeon in one of B.F. Skinner's cages, because living doesn't always mean living. I'm going to repeat that. Okay, if you're one of the pigeons in B.F. Skinner's little experimental cages being tortured every day for the rest of your wretched life, and at some point you simply said, "I am going to sit in the corner and die, I will let the electricity kill me," you're still choosing to defend what little bit of dignity you have left. Every living thing will do this. Every living thing, plant or animal, will cling to life as long as it can. So even having conversations about self-defense is absurd. It's absurd. It's crazy. Throughout all of human history, people have either been able to defend themselves or they've ended up dead or slaves. That's it. You can defend yourself, you can defend your dignity, you can stand your ground, you can die, or you can become a slave. That has been basically the option for most of human history. Newsflash, it hasn't changed. The only thing that's changed is they're trying to convince you that you, as an individual person, don't have a right to self-defense. Now, if a bogus system, a bogus elections, and a neo-Stalinist hellhole wants to set an entire country on fire and salt its land with depleted uranium, well, that's okay for some bizarre reason, unbeknownst to the logician. But you, as an individual actor, agent, have no right to defend yourself. That's crazy. It's not even about rights, it's about reality. Living things will fight or die. Living things will stand their ground or they won't. But having debates about living things defending themselves is mentally insane. But here's where we do have a choice. We don't have to organize our brothers and sisters into mobs and put uniforms on them. We don't have to organize our brothers and sisters into navies and air forces and armies. We don't have to organize our children and our brothers and our sisters into armies to go overseas and kill people and steal their stuff. We don't have to. That's called a choice. That's a choice. We don't have to. If you want to live on this planet, you might have to defend yourself. You might even have to use a firearm. You might. You might have an AR-15, which is a semi-automatic carbine. And those have been around for, I don't know, about 100 years. And repeating weapons, repeating rifles, have been around for about, I don't know, a century and a half. And weapons have been part of human society since, I don't know, forever. Long before human society had armies, long before we had any real kind of government to speak of, we still had weapons. Humans still defended themselves, and by the way, if you couldn't, you died or you became a slave. There is no contradiction between being opposed to these wars and at the same time supporting the right of any ordinary person to defend themselves. I'm emphasizing that because there's a lot of confusion right now. A lot of propaganda trying to convince people that it's okay for the government to go around killing people. That's okay for some reason that is completely lost on any rational human being. But it is not okay for you to defend yourself. It is not okay for you to make decisions about your life and your body and your person. It is not okay for you to say, no, thank you, Dr. Fauci. I read the emails. I can tell you're a crook. I've known you were a crook since the AIDS crisis in the 80s. So no, thank you. I won't be taking your vaccines today or ever. Every living thing. Every single living thing will fight to defend itself, but choosing to form people into armies, to use technology we can't afford to produce, to kill people who did nothing to us, that is optional. That's a choice, a real choice, a choice we can make. We can't tell people to not defend themselves. That's crazy. Okay? Telling animals to not fight for their lives is called mentally insane. It's like trying to tell the tides to go in and out. It's crazy. But we can choose to not have a militaristic society. We can choose to not have hundreds of military bases around the world. We can choose to not invade other countries. We can make choices. We can choose not to have our cops armed like light infantry. These are choices we can make. You can't stop the tides. You will not stop the rain. The sun will rise and living things will defend themselves. But having armies and nuclear bombs and erasing your neighbors because you want to steal their oil, that's a choice. That's optional. next topic. Next topic. Yeah, next topic. I was going to talk about a new product idea. It's a new product idea, but I'm going to be discussing this in another podcast probably soon. It's a new product you can buy in your refrigerated section, at the grocery store, right down the street. It's a new product. On the label of this product found in your, probably your dairy section, I think, it says, "That's not mayo. That's not mayo. It looks like mayonnaise, but that's not mayo. It has the texture of mayonnaise, but that's not mayo. That's not mayonnaise. That's the name of the product. You figure it out." That's dumb. Yeah, I don't think we need to talk more about "that's not mayo." Next topic. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. "Focusing on growth as a metric is the same as idolizing cancer." That's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Now, a lot of people talk about growth, and usually it'll be the Keynesian type. Sometimes the commies will, because they love talking about how their stuff can work, even though it's an impossibility machine. But yeah, commies will talk about growth, and Keynesians will. Every once in a while, you'll find a Friedmanite, or some type of supply side or weirdo dude who claims to believe in freedom, but they'll talk about infinite growth too. People who believe in actual freedom, in actual free markets, they don't focus on growth. In fact, growth is not an issue. Growth happens or it doesn't happen. It's not something you should ever attempt to force. If something is growing and it is inherently toxic, that's not a good sign. That's called cancer. A lot of Keynesians idolize growth, but I think they're just idolizing cancer. And I don't mean just the proverbial metaphorical cancer of a sideways, overly engineered, overly complex neo-Stalinist society. That's bad. That's really bad. But it's also the real cancer, the real toxicity, the real belief that you can burn the whole forest just because you can print the money. Worshipping growth for its own sake is bad. It's as bad as worshipping any number, but growth is a ridiculous number to worship. There are better things to be interested in. But again, the Keynesian, they love their cancer. Cancer is a broken window, and it means more jobs. More stimulus for the cancer machines. And all the cures, and the cures that give you cancer, so you have more cancer, and more money, and more growth, and more jobs, and more cancer. The boy who cried toilet paper shortage. The boy who cried toilet paper shortage. Do you guys remember in March, April of 2020, just a year ago, when there was that toilet paper shortage? It was horrible. It was horrible. The boy that cried toilet paper shortage. Thank you. I'm going to throw something out there, and I just want you to think about it for a second. If the people who think they run the world suspected that the system was falling apart, and that ultimately means logistical systems, systems for making sure there's food at the grocery store, or that the electricity works. If these folks recognize, probably in 2019, before the monkey herpes, COVID crisis, before the race war, before the reemergent Chinese murder hornets, or all the other fear-mongering crapola about racism being in every closet, they probably understood that the system was falling apart. And one of the things you want to do while the system is falling apart, especially if you are partially responsible, is you want to place the blame someplace else. It's hackers. It's hackers. Hackers shut down the pipeline. Hackers shut down the meat plant. Hackers blocked the stuff. Hey, that ship that got stuck, the Ever Given. It must have been hackers or Al-Qaeda. It's kind of like that condo collapsed in Miami. Who knows? Who knows the real story behind that? When one thing happens, that's just a point. That's not a pattern. But there have been so many things just kind of falling apart. It's kind of like that pipeline burst in the Gulf of Mexico. I think it was the Gulf of Mexico, but some sort of Mexican pipeline burst, and now you have this flaming gas fire fume spot on the ocean. It looks absurd, bizarre, and kind of horrible and shocking, and yet it is what's going on. Things are falling apart. So what if they decided that they were going to give us PSYOPs and give us various types of exercises to keep us busy and confused so we didn't place blame where it should be placed ultimately? The toilet paper shortage was interesting because when it first happened, I thought it was a joke. I thought the whole thing was a joke. How could there be a toilet paper shortage? And I think the reality is there wasn't. I think what they did is they created a shortage event, a shortage happening, a shortage thingy, just so that people would say, oh, that's no big deal. You remember that toilet paper shortage? We were fine. We reused our clothes. Of course, we had our dirty clothes bin, and we could grab an old t-shirt or old underwear. We could grab some old socks. We could grab that dress shirt we'll never wear again because the world, and we'll use that in lieu of toilet paper. But the toilet paper thing was probably 100% PSYOP, and it had a very simple purpose. And you can think of this as the boy who cried wolf scenario. They know, they knew, they understood that things were falling apart. And one of the things you want to do when stuff is falling apart, as stated, is figure out who or what to blame. You know? And they also needed people to believe, or at least people to think, that these shortages were mostly crap. They needed it to be a nothing burger. They needed the toilet paper shortage to scare people and also to be a nothing burger, to be nothing, to be irrelevant, to be a complete joke. Because when the real shortages come, and they will, and when the grocery store empties out, and it will, it isn't going to be a slow, nice drift to the bottom. That's not what's coming. You don't get to go up to 100,000 feet in a high-performance jet airplane, run out of fuel, and then glide to the ground. You don't. Okay? The very type of machine, or rather system or economy, that got you to this point is incapable of graceful degradation. One thing I do emphasize with all the crypto freaks is that we must decentralize. It is the ground state of human society. Highly centralized never worked for very long. It can't work for very long. But a lot of people want to believe nonsense. They want to believe in the robot apocalypse, and they want to joke about the toilet paper shortage, because it's hard to embrace the possibility that when this system fails, it's going to be a train wreck. You're not going to get to slowly walk down a mountainside to the other side of the mountain or hillside or valley. You're going to fall down one cliff after another. And if you're lucky, it's only 20-foot drops at a time, which I think would probably kill you after a couple, right? That's reality. That's what's coming. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles, and in reality, I'm ripping this off from Hemingway, the Hemingway quote I already gave, but and it has some dirty words in it I'm going to have to bleep out myself. How did it all turn to crap? Slowly, then what the heck? What was that? That's how it's going to be. It's not going to be graceful degradation. Systems designed for graceful degradation, like the human brain, for example, like many traditional communal societies that have a lot of independence and local capacity, you can have graceful degradation. It can happen that way, and the whole system doesn't collapse. What we have is all the eggs in a basket scenario. The cities are incapable of supporting themselves. If the flow of food and water and power to the cities breaks down, the cities break down. Once that happens, it's over. Everybody who studies this knows this. It's over. Once you lose the cities, you lose the state. I'm not saying you won't have local governments and local chieftains. I'm sure everybody will think they're the sheriff of the world. But it won't be the United States any longer. You can have one LA riot in 1992. And you can send in the 82nd Airborne, and you can solve that problem. But what happens when every city is on fire? What happens when you have to go to every single city and restore order? The answer is you can't. You won't. How did it all turn to crap? Slowly, and then what the heck just happened? It'll knock your teeth out. It'll be like a firecracker shoved up your nose. This has been a podcast broadcast of the Planetary Status Report. If you want to see more, or excuse me, not see, that's funny. If you want to hear more of these podcasts, you can go to imsully.com, or you can go to dfgtc.org/mp3. And if you want to review the notes for this show, you go to dfgtc.org/shownotes. That's dfgtc.org/shownotes, and pick the right date. And if you would like to donate to my podcast broadcast, you're welcome to. You just donate to Dr. Freckles at PayPal. That's Dr. Freckles. And I have a PayPal link on the show notes page, I believe. So if you go to show notes, I'll double check. You should be able to find it right about there. Yep. Anyways, if you want to donate, you can. If you have the resources to do so, you feel free. You are not obligated, but certainly every little bit helps. And beyond that, stay well, brothers and sisters.